Appreciate that. Thank you all. Honestly, as he first started reading that, before he started reading it, when he gave the address, I thought, that's the wrong one. It wasn't. It was the right one. I've been studying Galatians all week real heavy and did a conference yesterday where I used Galatians. Of course, I read it a while ago, part of Revelations. And I knew it wasn't in Revelations. It wasn't where I was preaching from. But for some reason, it didn't ring a bell right there for some reason. So, but it's good to be here with you this morning. It's good for have guests with us. Knox, I did not know you were so famous. You got so many people here today. People came for you, and that's a great thing. And you've got family that are good friends of mine. We didn't even know it till this morning. And so glad to see friends and family and people from other churches where I've been in the past. They ran me off, but they still came back to see me here for whatever reason. So it's good. No, it's good to have them with us today and everyone that's here today as well. Several have been asking again, so I'll just give you a quick update. Not really much change in the Bell's palsy. Still battling that. They are going to try a new treatment. I said they were going to start it this last week. They didn't. They decided to put it off. So it's one we'll start this next week, and they're going to go inside this jaw to try to get the muscles that are paralyzed to wake up or whatever causes that. So that's Thursday. In fact, I had a meeting here Thursday night scheduled to meet with one of the committees, and I had to tell the chair person this morning that I may or may not be able to make that meeting because they told me that we can't tell you what it's going to be like afterwards. And so we're not sure how you're going to feel, what's going to happen there. So again, it's all in God's hands. I said last week, I just realized, you know, it's God's. If it stays like this and never gets better, then that's God's, and that was his will, and there's a reason for it, and I'm okay, and I'll move forward with that. I don't think that's true. It's just that I'm a man, and they say 6 to 9 months, and it's been 6 weeks, and I want to know why has it not happened. I wanted it the third day, right? That's the way we are. But it's all in God's hands, and so we just trust him with whatever's happened. It's all his, and he knows he has a greater plan than I could ever dream or think of. Well, this morning, yes, Children's Church, thank you. See, Jonathan told me he wasn't going to be in here, and I still forgot it. Children's Church, if children, kindergarten through third, please follow back there. I think it's got people back there to help you, to take you there. Thank you all. It took two or three of them this week, waving their arms at me before me to realize it, to catch it there. So, but this eye's blurry this morning for some reason, so it's got too much fluid in it. But it still doesn't work, doesn't blink or close on its own. So, but anyway, now that we got that taken care of, I think that's it. All right, good. Adults, you are to stay in the room, so that's good. I've titled this message, Unifying as One Heart. Looking at this passage that was just read for us. And, you know, we spent the last 5 weeks, this is our sixth week, talking about unity. What does unity mean in the church and how to develop unity and discovering God's truth of unity, praying for repentance in our own hearts and for unity in at least four different areas so far. We first looked at understanding unity. And we did most of these on Sunday nights, okay? So we've gone through the book of Jonah recently on Sunday mornings. But on Sunday nights, we were looking at unity. First, we talked about understanding unity. What does it mean? What does unity mean? We came to the understanding that it's not about conformity. It's not uniformity. It's solidarity. It means we're standing together as one, marching forward for Christ. Then we studied for and prayed about being unified in prayer. And of course, part of the way we did this was we studied and we prayed each day. We prayed using the insert that you have, and you have the sixth one today. And there's so that we're all praying the same thing. That's being unified in prayer. And then the third week, we prayed for unity and seeking God's next man, his pastor, that he has for our church, the under-shepherd. And we prayed for the search committee and for the pastor and for different things that day, that week. And then Alex Kenshin was here, and he led us in looking at and praying for unity in community, talking about biblical community. And last week, we prayed for developing a culture of unity. What will that look like as we move forward as a culture unified in Christ? And we have one more week to go this week, and we're doing it this morning, looking at that message this morning. It's to be unified in any area, to be unified in any area of our life. Would you agree with me that we need to have a unified heart? Do this, even if you don't understand that. Because we need a unified heart if we're going to be unified in anything, in any part, any area of our life. And so I really appreciate Mickey allowing God to use him to choose the worship set that we use each week, and this one was truly God-sent, and you'll see that even more as we close out the service today. We studied last Sunday morning in the book of Jonah about Jonah's divided heart, and we learned that a divided heart always leads to a wrong direction, and it always leads us away from God. And so we understand that we need to be careful and be watchful not to have a divided heart. Even while serving God, we found out that Jonah harbored a divided heart. And I believe sitting in our churches this morning, there are people all across our country with divided hearts. The heart is considered the seat of emotion, the seat of intellect. It's considered as we have connections with the soul. And along with these, the heart is also the center of your personal will and your own courage. Do you realize that? It's your heart that is the center of your will. Have you ever heard anyone say that they just don't have willpower? I just don't have the willpower to do this or to refrain from that. What those people are really saying is that they don't have a heart to refrain from that. They don't have the heart to do or to not to do these things. You see, folks, you do have the willpower. You have the willpower to accomplish any good thing that you desire. That willpower stems from your heart. And if your heart is one after God's own heart, then any good thing is potentially yours. And as was read in our passage this morning, we see that. And knowing that what we said of the heart's seat of emotion, seat of intellect, of its understanding and personal will, is it any question that Paul begins these verses with, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts." First thing he tells us, put on God's chosen ones, put on a compassionate heart. And so that's our first point this morning, a compassionate heart. Our first point says a compassionate heart. When most everyone in our church would say, if we asked them if they had a compassionate heart, most everyone would say yes, wouldn't they? Would you agree? Most everyone in our church has a compassionate heart. They would say that they have a compassionate heart, because most all of us believe we have a compassionate heart. And if we were honest, we would have to say that we would have to agree that most everyone in our church has a compassionate heart, at least some of the times. We may say, well, I don't know about so-and-so. Sometimes I've seen him or I've seen her. But we would have to agree that most of our people in our church have a compassionate heart. Now, as Christians, as believers in Christ, we are God's chosen people. Do you understand that? Do we believe that? You are God's chosen people. We are. And Paul says, as God's chosen ones, we should automatically have a compassionate heart. Now, God's greatest characteristic is love. Hopefully you've been taught that all your life. His greatest characteristic, I believe, is love. And if we are truly God's chosen ones, and we have accepted his call to salvation, as we saw Knox do baptism this morning, then a compassionate heart should be a part of each one of our characters. It just should be there. Just a compassionate heart should be there automatically, right? But the flesh sometimes gets in the way, doesn't it? But it should be a part of our makeup. It should be part of our character to have that compassionate heart. But how do we know? What makes up a compassionate heart? I believe Paul spells it out for us. A compassionate heart is revealed through one, kindness. Kindness to everyone. Not only to our family or to those that we're close to or those who believe like us, but to others as well. A compassionate heart is made up of kindness. It's also made up of humility. That's one that causes us to pull our feet back sometimes. Humility, which means thinking higher of every other person than myself. Thinking of putting them higher, putting them before me. That's humility. And we can do that for certain people, but for a lot of people, no, I don't know about that. I don't think that's what God wants me to do. Well, a compassionate heart stems from humility. And then, one similar to that is meekness. Paul uses the word meekness. And that's turning away from all unnecessary arguments. That's not harboring any strife against anyone else because they vote a different way than you vote, or because they go to places that you don't go or don't think that you should go, probably you shouldn't go. But meekness is to turn away from those unnecessary arguments and not harboring strife or other things. And then he says, patience. So he talked about kindness. A compassionate heart is made up of kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Now, patience is the capacity to accept or to tolerate delay, just as I'm doing with my face, I guess. That just hit me. God, thank you for that one, showing me that again just now. We have to have patience. And patience is the capacity to accept or to tolerate delay, to tolerate trouble, to tolerate suffering without getting angry or without getting upset. And one of the best ways, folks, I mentioned this Wednesday night to the group as we were praying and going through our topics for the week. But one of the best ways to learn to pray and one of the best ways to stay focused on prayer, have you ever, let me ask you this. I want to see how many of you are going to be honest. In a Baptist church. How many of you, while somebody's praying in church, how many of your mind wanders off and you're thinking about something else and you have to pull yourself back? All right, 8 of you are honest, okay. It happens to all of us. And so one of the best ways to learn to pray is to learn to just pray whatever that person's praying. When you got someone praying in church, pray that prayer. Word for word, just pray what they're praying. That's the way I learned to pray as a child. And you know, I talked to you about praying, taking our lives into deeper prayer levels, and that's what we're trying to do with some of our prayer emphasis that we're doing. But just pray that prayer. And with that in mind, we're going to do just like what we've normally been doing on Sunday nights, for those of you who have not been able to attend, is I'll go through a part of this, and then we're going to pray. So we're going to pray right now what we're just talking about, having a compassionate heart. So let's all pray. Holy Father and God Almighty, the Apostle Paul in this writing instructs us that as your chosen ones, that we are to clothe ourselves with a compassionate heart. Help us, Lord, in that we would clothe ourselves with a compassionate heart for every moment of every day. And believing that this is what we all desire, I know, Lord, that I desire it. I desire a compassionate heart and one that comes from you so that I can demonstrate your love. Give us as a church, and start with me, Lord, a compassionate heart. A heart that is full of kindness to everyone. And Lord, if I cannot demonstrate kindness to my family and to my brothers and sisters in Christ, whether at this church or other churches that I know, then how can I claim a compassionate heart? And how can you look on me with kindness and agree that I am good enough? Father, it's only through your Spirit that I am made worthy. Lord, in areas where my pride and my self-desire keep me from being humble, break me. And then build me into your humble servant that my heart will show more compassion to those around me every day of every week. Strengthen me, Lord, with meekness. Meekness is not weakness. And Lord, sometimes meekness takes more strength than assertiveness. So mold me into a meek servant accomplishing your will. And Lord, I understand, I know that perhaps one of the most troubling attributes that you have to deal with in me is patience. Don't give up on me, Lord. Help me. Help me to adopt patience into my compassionate heart. These four, Lord, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Intertwine these, weave these into my character, these four, and let me follow your lead in obedience to you in developing these, especially when they go against my nature. Weave these into my character so that you may proclaim that I have a compassionate heart. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. May we all pray that type of prayer and come with a compassionate heart, a renewed heart. Paul goes on in this series, in this passage, and says that our second point is bearing with others, because he talks to us along with these four. He ends with patience of those four. There may be a reason that he stops with patience there. But he doesn't stop there, because that's the last one of those four that he uses about a compassionate heart. But then the sentence continues with this. It says, bearing with one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Bearing with one another. That's what he says. Bearing with one another. And it's a continuation. If you look at that, right, that's a continuation of patience. He just listed those four: kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And then he says, bearing with one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. So it's a continuation. Bearing with one another, or bearing with, it means something other than just putting up with. And I think sometimes we fall into that. We think that when we read the word bearing with, or the phrase bearing with, that we think that means just I have to put up with this group or that person or that style of music or whatever that is. And that's not what it means. It does not mean that I'll sit here and wait for you to catch up with me. That's not what bearing with means. It means not looking down on others because they may not be at the place where you spiritually believe that you're at. You know, I said it, believe you're at. The Apostle Paul is telling us that we are to bear or to walk with, to walk along in unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ, bringing them, locking arm in arm, you might say, and walking together in unity in Christ, in a Christ-like manner, displaying these four characteristics of the heart. Taking one another by the arm, holding one another up, lifting one another up, encouraging one another, taking care of one another, looking after one another spiritually and physically. Yes, there are times, rare, but there are times when people need to be called out or even rebuked. But that is to call out in a Christ-like manner, not in our own self-righteous ways. Paul, without hesitation, follows the bearing with one another phrase with, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. If Christians in North America would understand and practice this one biblical principle, as the Lord has forgiven you, forgive, you must also forgive. If all Christians in North America would understand and practice this one biblical principle, I wonder how God could use us and how this nation would be different than it is today. Let's pray. Father, we've prayed for a compassionate heart. Cleanse the sinful heart in each one of us. We all have those dark areas, those dark corners. Give us each a heart transplant today. Transplant our heart of human understanding with a heart filled with your love and your compassion. And with this new heart of compassion, Lord, lead us to a new way of life as a church that's reaching, that other churches take note of, because we're reaching a new way of life, seeing others as you see them, instead of seeing them through the eyes of the flesh. With this new heart of compassion, lead us to this new way of life of seeing others the way you see them. No matter who they are, you see them with as much love for them as you have for me. Guide us, Lord, as a church and as individuals to bear with our brothers and sisters, even in disagreements and varying passions. Not only do we need your teaching and patience, we need your love and your patience running through our veins. And when I begin to slip into my old way of thinking, remind me of how much you have forgiven me. And then pull me, if you need to, Lord, pull me into forgiving others as much as you have forgiven me. I mean, I'm reminded that when asked how many times to forgive another, Jesus replied 70 times 7. Embed that in my mind when I consider not to forgive another for even little things, like cutting me off in traffic. Your word in this chapter says, as you have forgiven me, I must also forgive. God, the tempter uses all types of vices in this world to trip me up. So may my eyes and the eyes of my heart be the eyes of your Holy Spirit, helping me to avoid all those trip-ups. In Christ's name, amen. Our third point this morning is ever-abiding love, because this is how the word, this is how the passage continues. As God has forgiven you, you must also forgive. Paul does not stop there. He continues and says, and above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. We are to go beyond forgiveness. He talks about forgiving. We must forgive as God has forgiven us. But then he goes beyond that. We are to go beyond forgiving and beyond forgiveness. Paul began this passage with the words, put on or clothe yourself with. And what he's what tells us to put on and to clothe ourselves with is love. He's talking about God's love. You see, if we have love as our foremost characteristic, if we put that on first every morning, we will practice those other characteristics that we've talked about this morning. We will be willing to forgive others and to live with patience, to live with kindness, to live with humility and the meekness of Christ-like character. And I wonder, is this the reason perhaps that the lost world does not see Christians the same way they see Christ? You know, surveys have shown recently that when people are asked who is Christ or what was Christ like, that they use words like he was kind, he was gentle, he was compassionate. And then they'll ask in that same survey, what do you think about Christians? How are they? And how are they? And they say they're hateful, they're bigots, they're intolerant. Now, if the word Christian means Christ-like, to be Christ-like, how can there be such a separation? Because it's something that we're revealing to the outside world. And we must be willing to forgive others and to live with patience, kindness, and all these things that we've been talking about. Have we lost that love that Jesus is talking about? In the church in North America today, could be reflective of the church in Revelation chapter 2. And we talked about this again Wednesday night and last Sunday night too. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is Jesus having John write letters to the seven churches there. In Revelation 2, he's writing to Ephesus, the church in Ephesus. And he starts by telling them, what good things, I see you've done this, and you have this, and you're enduring in this, and you're doing. And he's talking about the good things that they're doing. And then in verse 4, he says, but, or yet, I hold this against you. You're doing some good things, yet I hold this against you. You've lost your first love. What's he talking about there? He's talking about that garment that Paul is talking about that we need to put on every day. That garment of the love of God, the love of Christ. And I said Wednesday night, or last Sunday night, that I believe that Jesus, if he were writing that letter to the church today in North America, that he could probably write the same words. Yet I hold this against you. You're doing some good things. You got a lot of good things going on. Yet I hold this against you. You've lost your first love. So church, from this day forward, and if you're not part of Central Baptist Church, you can say this, pray this of your church. But from this day forward, may that never be said of Central Baptist Church, that we've lost our first love. And so let's pray to God asking for that. God Almighty, God of love, we as a church have fallen. As a church in North America, as a church here in Paris, Kentucky, we have fallen. As individuals, each one of us has in some arenas of our life lost our first love. A love that compels us to speak of you to others and to invite them lovingly into your presence. God, guide us each morning as we get up and we walk to our closet. Guide us to put on first the garment of your love. Clothe us, O Lord, in your love for each day. Because it is this, your love, which binds all things together in perfect harmony. If we forget to put on that each morning, we know from experience our day will not go as we desire or as you desire. The church that does not walk in harmony is not walking in unity. And we desire that unity in you each day of every week. Do what you will, Lord, guide us to be your unified church of love and forgiveness, shining your light throughout Bourbon County and beyond. Unified in all the things that we have prayed for these past 5 weeks, change my heart, O God. Make it ever true to be just like you. Let the peace of Christ rule in my heart and the heart of each one of our members and each person present, each person listening online today. And in the future of our church and other churches that people may be a part of that are listening in or watching. For this is that to which indeed I have been called, and we have been called in one body with these, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I thank you for each one of them. Amen. The next verse in our passage speaks to the leadership, and I believe to each one of us as members of the body of Christ. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Folks, Satan is at work continuously trying to disrupt and to bring disunity among the leaders of every church around the globe. Every one of God's churches, Satan, the enemy, is at work continuously trying to disrupt. You know why he wants to disrupt and bring disunity just even among the leadership of every church? Because when Satan can distract and disunify the leadership of any church, Satan has control of the church. Do not let Satan get hold of you or your role in leadership or your role as a member to pray daily for your leadership in your church. Do not let Satan get a hold of you or even just tempt you to, that's okay, there's other people praying for him today, don't pray for him. We need to each remember that and pray, lift them up every day. Father God, most high being of all heaven and earth, compel me each day to pray for the unity of leadership in our church. Not to pray for them to lead as I desire, but to be unified in spirit with you, with Christ, and with your Holy Spirit. I realize Satan is attacking your church all across the world, the globe. And he can cripple a church by dividing its leadership. So Lord, clothe every person in leadership here at Central Baptist Church and other churches here in this city, in this state, and around the globe. Clothe every person in leadership in your church with your full armor to fight off the distractions, the divisiveness of our enemy and his tempting. Do not allow our enemies even one moment of disunity among our church leaders or members from this day forward, because we stand united in Christ, whose shed blood we represent to a lost world. Let us not bring shame on you or your kingdom. Rather, let us rally in unity with Christ, exposing all corners of darkness with the light of Christ as we walk with you daily. In his name, amen. And then the last verse in our scripture says this morning, verse 17. It says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of McDonald's. It's not what it says, right? I hope you don't have a version that says that. It says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Everything that you do, 7 days a week, even when you wake up in the middle of the night, everything that you do, every thought that comes to your mind, every word that you say, every action that you take, everything, frame that thought as if it was coming out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. Would he say that about that person? You see somebody that's homeless or somebody that's destitute out on the street, somebody in Walmart or Walgreens or wherever you find yourself, frame your thoughts with that mindset. Would Christ say that about that person? What I just thought? See, he says, in everything you do. I want us to prepare for a time of invitation, because in everything that we do, in word or deed, Let us do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've gone through five, this being our sixth week, entering into our sixth week, praying for unity, talking about unity, discussing unity on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, through the prayer guides that you've had. Even our Sunday morning services, even I didn't plan it that way, but it just worked out that with the 4 weeks of Jonah, they were all right there. It's all the same thing. And so every church could benefit from what we've talked about. And I pray that our church will benefit from what we've prayed and talked about. And from this day forward, God will use us in a way. And that's what we've been praying for the last 2 weeks on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, that God would do something here that is so amazingly His that there's no way that not one of us could say, look what I've been a part of. Look what God did through us. No, there's no way when God acts like He can act. And what I've seen Him do in my life, if some of you have read that book, God Provides, that we gave you, or we gave you the opportunity to have. Those are God things. We want God to act that way so that none of us can take credit for it. I don't ever want it to be said, look what George did. I want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. So would you stand with me? We're going to have a time of invitation. And I don't want you to think that I'm in the habit of doing this or that I do this, even though this will be the second time I've done it since I've been here. But I'm going to ask you during our invitation today, if you agree that you're ready to stand in solidarity, that's what unity means, to stand in solidarity with everyone else in this church, solidarity for Christ, doing what Christ wanted, being united as one heart. Now, I'm going to ask you if you would to come forward today. Now, if you're not ready for that, I understand. You can stay where you're at. Guest, we don't expect you to come forward. If you feel led to do that, that's fine. You can say that you're going to stand in solidarity with your church. But I want you, if that's what you feel led to do, I want us all to join united to show God and to show one another that we're ready. We want God to do something in and through this church greater than He's ever done. We are ready to move forward regardless of what's happened in the past, regardless of how we feel about certain people or certain others. We want God to move forward regardless of how we feel about anything else in our own lives, our personal lives, that we want to be one to stand forward. I want to read to you, and this is something that, again, this is how God works. I don't choose the music. Very seldom will I ever go to Mickey and say, hey, I would like to have this song. I may do that from time to time. And I actually had one in mind for an invitation hymn. But before I could get it to Mickey, I sent him the title and I sent him the scripture, and that's all I sent him. And God laid on his heart what music to sing today. That's the way it works around here. That's the way we do it. We let God lay it on his heart. I don't try to tell him. Don't try to maneuver anything. And I want you to hear the song, the words that you're about to sing. God the Father of your people, you have called us to be one. Grant us grace to walk together in the joy of Christ, your Son. Challenged by your word and spirit, blessed with gifts from heaven above, as one body we will serve you and bear witness to your love. In the garden, hear Christ praying, Father, make my followers one. Yet his prayer we are betraying with each person that we shun. Let our pride and selfish ambition and selfish motives bow to pray, your will be done. Till the world shall shout together, amen, amen, love has won. May the grace of Christ our Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. May we now remain in union with each one, with each other, and the Lord, and possess in sweet communion joys that earth cannot afford. As you watch those words on the screen, as we sing them, I'm asking if you will come forward. Mickey and Sue Ellen would be the first ones down here because they sit on the front row. No, they would have been the first ones down here anyway, but I've asked them not to today. I asked them to be here to lead us in this. And I want to ask you, if you're willing and you're ready to see God do something, you want this church to be something it's never been, even greater than its greatest days are still ahead, and you want to unite and lock arms. You can even come forward and just grab the arms of the person. Don't grab them. But just lock your arm around that person. That's fine. Whatever you choose to do. But I'm going to pray and ask that you would come and do that. Father God, this is your invitation. And we come to you united, O Lord, as a body of Christ, as believers in Christ. We come united as one heart, one mind, and one soul. Lord, we come united to say that we want you to do something great in and through this church. We come united to say, Lord, this is your church. It's not our church. It's not my church. And even though it may be uncomfortable at times, I'd rather see you work in this church, even if it means me being uncomfortable for a time. Because I know your ways are much greater than my ways. Father, we come united today as one, with one heart, saying, I understand, I realize that I must forgive, and so I forgive anyone in this room or in my family or in my life. I must forgive them to walk wholly, solidly with you. So we come in solidarity and unity today, Lord, culminating this series that we've been going through. And then help us to walk out of here in unity from this day forward for all the things that you want to bring and do in and through this church. Start with my heart and lead us and guide us. And Father, for someone here today that's not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, if they've not made that step like little Knox did today, then I pray that they would come and talk to one of us. Even during this invitation, if they can't get to the front then, that's fine. They can come later and talk to us. Whoever it is, whatever age it is, you're never too old to accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. To know when you leave this earth, you're going to step into heaven's glory at the throne of Christ and of God the Father. Father, have your way in our hearts right now and lead us as we show our solidarity and our unity as one body, believers in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You respond as God leads you.